Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
All right. Well, good morning, and welcome. If you came in a little late, my name is Jason. I'm the pastor here at the church. Excited to have you with us today. I want to look online. I know we have people in every section. We have them in the overflow on this side, and then all under the tent as well. It's all full there as well. And that's not even the people watching online. Can we give it up for everybody who's watching the screen somewhere? Love you. So glad that you come. Decide to celebrate Easter with us. And I just want to tell you, you look good today. Come on, you look a little extra. Y'all got your Sunday best on. And you know, why don't you look the person next to you and say, you know what, you look better than you did last week. Just tell them, you look a little better. Just a little bit better than you did last week. I'm just playing. I'm having a good time with you. So, hey, I am excited to have you here. I'm proud of you for being here. And hopefully you'll leave here today and with a fresh, better understanding of the resurrection and the point of it. It's very easy to take Easter and to put it in a category of like a tradition or a holiday, which isn't bad, but we can often put it there and just kind of forget it. Well, this is when we get dressed up, you know, we have an Easter egg hunt, and then we go to church, and that's it. And it's so much more than that. And so I'm glad you're here so that we can focus on what Easter truly is about. Matter of fact, I entitled the message today just simply this: what difference does Easter make? What difference does it actually make? To my shame, I hate to even say this, but even as a teenager growing up in church all those years, I remember going to Easter services and man, people would shout, you know, praise God and Jesus is alive, praise God. But no one really explained why that was such a big deal. I knew that him dying on a cross was a big deal, but him being raised from the dead, what was that part all about? And I'm going to share that with you today. Before we jump too far into that, though, I do want to, I like to do something funny. Fun, if you come to our church, you'll know that pretty much at the beginning, kind of loosen everybody up, get them ready in the zone to learn from God's word. I like to do something a little fun. So what I decided to do this year, I did this kind of as a tradition for a while on Easter Sunday, but the last couple of Easters, I haven't done it. But this is what I like to do. I like to kind of scour the internet and find church signs, you know, like church, the sign, like old school church signs out there. You know what I'm talking about? And so I want to look at that. Now, here's the point. You got to get this, that the idea, the point of a church sign is for you to read the sign and it makes you want to come to church. Okay? So you read the sign and you want to come to church. So in other words, as this generation would say it, I think they didn't know the assignment, some of these churches, all right? And so this is a special Easter version. I thought I'd have a little fun, and we'd start off this way. And let's check out a couple of church signs. Let's see if they hit the mark or not. This first one I saw here, no bunny loves you like Jesus. That's just cheesy. Let me tell you, we don't do cheesy in this church. I don't like cheesy a whole lot. But anyway, so that's it. We got this next one here. Come on, this one here. The Bee Gees aren't the only ones staying alive. Happy Easter. All right. Now, if you're over 45, you got that. All right. All right, so how many of you, come on, honest moment, you have no idea what they're talking about. Okay, all right, I'm going to say, staying alive. Hey, you can't be louder singing staying alive than you were worship just now, okay? It's not allowed. I'm just kind of playing, I'm messing around with you. Okay, all right, there's a couple more here. I got one right here. Jesus loves his peeps. That's cheesy too, man. Listen, all right, listen, we need to settle something. Okay, we're online, so this will last forever because we're online. So we need to establish something for all of eternity, for all of humanity's sake. Are y'all ready? Okay? Y'all know what I'm talking about, peeps? Y'all know them little demon-possessed-looking marshmallow brothers? Okay. How many of you in here, you hate peeps? Come on, hey, peeps. All right. The majority, okay? So they need to be banned, all right? All right, how many in here? Come on, just be honest. You love peeps. Well, yeah, hey, get out. No, I'm playing. Don't get out. But I don't I don't really like peeps very much. I do have to tell you this. Now listen, remember, the idea is we're trying to get them in church. So the sign gets you in church. I could be wrong, but this next one I don't think is going to get anybody to go to church. I saw this one, demon possession, Sunday at 6. I'm not going, y'all. I'm pastor of church, and I'm driving by demon possession at 6. I'm like, man, some of you are like, man, I got to see that. No, trust me, stay away. All right, stay away. I have two more for you real quick, two more. This one is, time is short, hell is hot, the king is coming, ready or not. All right. They're not coming. Stop it. Stop it. They're not coming. All right, one more, just for the fun of it. I like this one here. Tired of being a loser, turn to God. That's one way. Man. We got to help these brothers out a little bit, you know? Go Google something, please, you know? Something ways to want them to come in. But anyway, just having a little bit of fun. I do want to share the Easter story, the resurrection story with you straight from Scripture. Jesus died on a cross. I hate to say the word celebrate as much as I like to say observe that on Friday, Good Friday, where we observe Jesus' death on the cross. Hopefully you were able to tune in online for that service. And then now we're here. He's buried, and he rises again on the third day. And this is the account that we're going to read in Luke chapter 24. So let me read you the story of why we're here, okay? On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed with light like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinner, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb, bending over. He saw the strips of linen by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Today, I want to help you, just a brief message that I want to share with you to try to make it very understandable of the power, the supernatural power of this moment, and then how it applies to us. Basically, what I want to do is I want to go through first, what does the resurrection mean? And I want to give you three things of what the resurrection actually means. And then I want to just answer, what does it mean for me? Like, okay, so now how does that actually matter in my life? And I want to give you three things related to that. So the first thing right off the bat, what does the resurrection mean? The first thing it means is it means Jesus is who he claimed to be. Amen. Jesus is who he said he was. He said he's the Son of God, and the resurrection proves that he's the Son of God. See, every other religious leader out there, they're dead, and they're still dead. But Jesus, he rose again, showing that he was who he claimed that he would be. Speaking of claiming who they are, have you ever met somebody and they explain themselves to you and then you find out over time, you're not that at all. Like, you're deceived about yourself. Or maybe my social media people out there, you see somebody who you know their life and they post something inspirational and you're like, dude, I wish you'd live by the thing you just posted, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Was it just me? I'm thinking of like that one post, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Then you think to yourself, dude, you show up to late work all the time. You complain about it half the time. Why don't you just live what you actually saying? But Jesus, he was who he said he was. John 11:25 says this, and Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Notice he didn't say, "I have resurrection and I have life." He goes, "I am that. I am resurrection. I am the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he die." The great scholar and writer C.S. Lewis wrote a book that has impacted so many people's lives. He did a deep dive study on Jesus. Matter of fact, if you want to know the differences in all religions that are out there, the hinge point that changes it all It's Jesus, the Son of God. And when he did a deep dive study, he came to a conclusion that Jesus had to be one of three things. That he was either a liar, he was a lunatic, or he was Lord. He has a whole book on it. He was either a liar, and somehow he lied. And we've all been believing a lie. And billions of people have believed a lie throughout their life. And even to this day, we're following a lie. Or he's crazy. He's a lunatic. He was. Or there's only one other possible solution. He's actually who he said he is. He's actually the Lord. He's actually the Son of God. He's actually that one. John 14, 6 says this. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one, watch this. No, everybody say no one. No one comes to the Father except by me. Wait a second. That kind of ruins that whole idea of there's multiple ways to get to heaven. That kind of throws that whole idea of as long as you're good and it all comes back to it. Jesus said, it's just me. You come through me. That's the only way that you can know the Father. Because what Jesus is who he claimed to be. The second thing that we see, what does the resurrection mean? That Jesus has the power he claimed to have. It's one thing to say you're something. It's another thing to actually have the power to back it up. This is who I claim to be. Matthew 28, 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. I want you to say another word. Say authority. 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 All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. All authority. When I think of that word, authority, I was kind of dwelling on that word this past week and kind of made me think about this certain scenario. I'm a sports watcher. I like watching sports. I've been watching March Madness, and I'm from New Orleans, so I'm pulling for LSU, and we just made it to the next round. The girls, not the guys. We don't talk about the guys, okay, in basketball. And the whole time I'm watching the game, okay, the whole time I'm watching the game, I'm watching everything go back and forth, and this thought has come to my mind so many times, and I've just thought this. Who grows up and says, you know what I want to be when I grow up? A ref. Like, who says that? Now, if you're a ref in here, we have a lot of refs that come to our church. Oh, we have a lot of refs that come to church, and we have a lot of coaches that come to our church. Just goes to show you Jesus must be here, because that's the only way there's some unity in the house, you know? And so, but this is what I learned. Everybody yells at the coach. I mean, at the ref. It does. Yes, Lord. I'm sorry, Jesus. All right, there I am. All right, I apologize, Lord. I do, I apologize. All right, so everybody's yelling all the time. And you know, I grew up in Louisiana and they're serious about their sports. Then I moved here to Katy and y'all crazy. I mean, I go to the games and everybody, and you know who everybody's yelling at? The refs. Right. The coaches yelling at the refs. Players yelling at the refs. Crowd yelling at the refs all the time. My daughter grew up, we were playing basketball and we go to all the AAU stuff. And there were times, I'm telling you, that's all you hear. And they're just screaming, and everybody on one side blames the refs, and everybody on the other side, and whoever loses, it's the refs. They blame on. One time we were in a tournament, and there's been a couple times where I look at my wife, I'm like, there's gonna be a riot. There's just gonna be a riot. It's just crazy in here. And by the way, there was one. I actually had to go get my daughter off the court because it got a little crazy. All these things, all because of the ref. But you know, it doesn't matter how crazy it gets, doesn't matter what goes on, people can go nuts in the place when they blow that whistle. And when they stop play, they make the final call. You know why? Because they have the final authority on making the decision. And I look back at when Jesus was on the cross and it was chaos. The people were going crazy. The disciples were running. The Pharisees were looking up and sneering. They had all these different things. And that's not even talking about supernaturally what was going on in that moment. But even in all of that, Jesus has the final authority. In all things. He said, all authority. What is all? All. Yeah. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. You know what that means? Doesn't matter what that diagnosis is. God makes the final call. Amen. Doesn't matter that disappointment that came your way. Jesus makes the final call. Amen. Doesn't matter what you walked in with. You don't have to walk out with because Jesus makes the final. He has all authority. Amen. Now you may say, Pastor, if he's got all this authority and he's so powerful and he has the power he claims to have and all that, then why'd they take him and kill him? Why didn't they? Make no mistake about it, guys. They didn't take it. He gave it. Jesus gave it. Look, it actually says this in Scripture in John 10:18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. Jesus is talking. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The command I receive from my Father. So think about it. The Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is praying. They come to arrest him. When they come to arrest him, Peter takes the sword, his disciple, and he cuts off a servant's ear. Jesus heals that ear. And what does he say? He goes, don't you think that I can call legions of angels to come save me? Oh, he knew what he was doing. He was in control. The Bible actually says that the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Because Jesus, he is who he claimed to be. And Jesus has the power he claimed to have. The third thing, what does the resurrection mean? It means that Jesus does what he promises to do. Jesus does what he promises to do. You know, nowadays we live in a time of lawyers, contracts. If you're going to get it, you better get it in writing. You know, when I first started this church about 8.5 years ago with a great team, and as we buying property and doing certain things and vendors, I'd hear this over and over, make sure you get it in writing. Make sure you get it in writing. And this isn't not my generation, but my dad tells me of a time where there were not contracts and there were not lawyers. There was this thing called a handshake. And if a man gave his put his word on something, then you could just trust that's the way it was going to be. Boy, it'd be nice to get back to those days, huh? It would be. But until then, get the contract, all right? Until then, all right? But Jesus, if he promised it, he will fulfill it. And guess what he promised? He promised he was going to rise again. He told them. Mark chapter 10. He tells them, we are going up to Jerusalem, he said, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. So he told them. He told them, we read it a little bit earlier, Matthew 28:5-6, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. So what's the point? Why does this matter? I'll tell you why. It's Jesus, he is who he said he is. He's the Son of God. He has the power to do what he said that he would do, and his promises you can hold on to. If he promised it, he will deliver it. So now here's the only question is, what does that mean for me? What does that mean for me? It means these three things for you. The first thing it means, if he has all the power, all the authority, and you can trust his promises, the first thing that means is my past can be forgiven. Amen. I can be forgiven. Like all the stuff, I can be forgiven from that. Colossians 2:13-14, he forgave all their sins, having canceled, that word canceled, the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. That word cancel, I can't help but comes to my mind, is this little word over the last couple of years we've all heard called cancel culture, right? Cancel culture basically meaning if you said anything in your life that's ever been recorded, they can try to grab it and cancel you because of it, right? I don't know. I'm 48 years old. And there was a time where everything wasn't recorded. Y'all remember those days? Anybody remember those days? How many of y'all are glad everything hadn't been recorded in your whole life? If all of a sudden I said, hey, we're going to play on the screen your life, the highlights and lowlights of your life, we would all run out of the store, right? All that. And so that's cancel culture. If you said something, any time in your life, they'll cancel you. Hey, don't worry about this whole cancel culture, because guess what's going to happen? Guess what's already happened? It's canceling itself. You know why? Because no one's that good. No one's that righteous. No one's that self-righteous that I'm going to cancel you. Well, let's find out about your past, right? But you know what Jesus was? He was the ultimate canceler. But you know what he canceled? He didn't cancel people. He canceled sin. Yeah. Amen. When he died, and he paid the ultimate price on that cross for you and me so that we would not be condemned. In Romans 8:1, it says, for there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. What does it mean for me? It means my past can be forgiven. Number two, it means I can have strength for my current circumstances. As I began to pray this week for you and pray for many of you that I know and many of you I don't know, but I look forward to meeting after service and maybe even getting to know throughout the future, is just simply this. As I prayed, I realize that many people's current circumstances are challenging. Their current circumstances, it can be pretty tough. And there's this little word that came my way that I was thinking about as I was praying. And I really just sensed this in my heart that there's many people that'll be at church on this weekend as I was praying that are suffering in silence. They're suffering in silence. That stuff's going on, and may not everyone knows, but you know. And there's things deep down in your heart that maybe you're struggling with, and you know. Can I just plead with you for a second? If you're struggling with something, don't keep it in. Find somebody you could talk to. If you can't, call us. We'll sit in front of you. We'll say hello, and I'll say, tell me what's going on, because we want to be here for you by yourself. But here's the deal. Even if you feel by yourself, you're not, because Jesus will be with you and give you strength in your current circumstances. There's this great scripture, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. He gives us strength to walk through these things and to navigate through life's circumstances. And so what does it mean? It means my past can be forgiven. It means I can have strength in my current circumstances. And the final one is this. It means my future can be secure. You know what that means? It means you can know you're going to heaven. If you've given your life to Jesus, you can know that you'll be with him in eternity. Maybe you even came in and you just thought, well, you know, if I do more good than I do bad, then you go to heaven, right? And then maybe you even came in and I already blew one thing up by saying all roads don't lead to heaven. And it's like, I didn't blow it up. God did. Jesus said it. And you can know, though, before you walk out of these doors, you can know that your future is secure because you know Jesus. John 17:3 says this, now this is eternal life. Now this, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now watch this. It didn't say, now this is eternal life. You go to church. That's not it. This is eternal life, that you have faith. Nope, that's not it either. This is eternal life. You do more good than bad. No, that's not it either. What's eternal life? Eternal life is you know him. You know Jesus. You don't know the figurehead. You know you have a relationship with. Have you met Jesus? Have you met Christ? The one who died on a cross, yes, but rose again. He is who he said he is. He has the power that he says he has. He has the promises you can trust in that he has. And it means you can be forgiven, washed clean, have the power that you need to walk this life out and know that your future in heaven is secure. Do you know him? I want to give you a chance, if you don't, to know Jesus today. That you walk out of here, be forgiven of your sin. Wipe clean of all your sin. The Bible actually says this, that Jesus takes our sin and throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. There's something powerful about knowing and surrendering to Christ. And I want to give you a chance to do that today if you haven't. So wait, in all of our overflow sections everywhere in this room, in just a moment, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to just simply ask, if you don't know Jesus, if you've not given your life to Christ, I'm not talking about joining a church, not talking about any of that, but if you've not given your life to Christ, but you want to before you leave here today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to count to three. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. And if you haven't, but you want to, I'm going to ask you just to look up at me. And when you do, I'll say, I see you. And you can put your head back down. Then I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to have you stand up, not going to have you raise your hand, run up to the front, whisk you off to another room. We're not going to do anything like that. Just want to pray for you. So I'm just going to ask that now. If everyone just bow their heads and close their eyes with no one looking around. There'll be some pastors in the overflow sections there as well. And when I say 1, 2, 3 and you look up, they'll recognize you and you can put your head back down. But if you're here under the sound of my voice with every head bowed, every eye closed, and you say, Pastor, I've not surrendered my life to Jesus, but I want to before I leave here today. Would you look up at me in 1, 2, 3. Anyone here? I'm looking in the middle section first. I see you, sir. I see you, sir. It's awesome. I see you, ma'am. I see you, sir. Anyone else in the middle right here? If I didn't see you yet. To my right, your left. Anyone over here? I see you, sir. I see you, ma'am. Anyone else? I see you, ma'am. I see you, sir. Anyone else? All the way in the back. I see you, sir. And sir, I see you. Ma'am, I see you. I see you, ma'am. Anyone else? See you. To my left or right, anyone over here? I see you, ma'am. I see you, sir. I see you, sir. Anyone else? I see you, sir. Anyone else? In all the overflow sections, if you haven't looked up, if you want to take a moment, just look up. One of our pastors or leaders who will signify that they see you there. Now, I'm going to say this prayer, and I'm going to ask that you repeat this prayer after me. Now, I'm going to use my words, and I'm going to ask you to take and just repeat it after me, mean it in your heart. But you won't do it by yourself. I'm going to ask the whole church that if you would repeat this along with me for those who are praying it for the first time. Let's all say this together. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today, a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Come into my heart and take my life. I believe you died on the cross and rose again on the third day. I give you my past, my present and future. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give a hand for everybody who said that prayer just now? If that's you, let me tell you what might have happened. You may have felt like 1 million pounds just came off you. That's God cleansing you, redeeming you, setting you free. Maybe you even came in as a skeptic, and maybe you're still skeptical, but you're feeling something. Let me tell you what you're feeling. It's not the music behind me, although it's very nice. Thank you, Kathy. You know what the Bible says? That God has set eternity in every one of our hearts. So even if you're skeptical, you're like, it feels like, I mean, this can't be all there is, right? There's got to be more than this. There is. And that's what you're feeling right now. But can I tell you the ultimate for all of you that just said that prayer, welcome into the family of God. And guess what? You can know that you're going to heaven. By the way, that heaven, I can't wait. That's going to be awesome. You know what the Bible says? That there'll be no more pain, no more shame. It says this one thing I'm a little confused about. It said there'll be no more tears. But you ever cried tears of joy? I mean, Lord, can I have some tears real quick so I can cry them of joy here in heaven? But it's going to be awesome and amazing. And the Bible has this amazing picture of just as far as the eye can see, a sea of faces around the throne room of what we're talking about, the name above all names, Jesus. And you know what they're singing? The Bible says they're singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.